I think it's time that we start the conversation to silence the shame.
Silence the shame.
Silence the shame. Silence is the difference between treatment or pain, life or death.
Silence the shame.
Speak up now and silence.
Silence.
Silence. Silence the shame.
Welcome back to the Silence the Shame podcast. We are super excited to have you again. It's your girl Life. You know who it is. Today we have a very special friend, Dr. Jane Morgan, in the building coming to tell us just how your physical health and your mental health go hand in hand. Welcome to the studio, Dr. Jane Morgan. Super excited to have you. Just give us a little bit about yourself and how you landed here on the Silence the Shame podcast.
Thank you, Life. Love being here today.
Awesome.
This is so good. So I am a cardiologist. My name is Dr. Jane Morgan.
Okay.
I'm the executive director of health and community education at Piedmont Healthcare, but mm-hmm. I actually came to Piedmont years ago to lead their cardiovascular research program.
Awesome.
And then to expand into innovation. During COVID, I sort of transitioned as many people were redeployed mm-hmm. to lead the COVID task force and do a lot of education and health literacy. And now that we're on this side of COVID, I've kind of just continued with that and expanded to other topics outside of COVID. Before that, I actually worked in industry, AbbVie, Solvay, in real R&D, research and development, and medical affairs and business development. And then before that, I actually was a bread and butter cardiologist seeing patients like everybody else.
I mean, when have you had time to do anything?
I know.
Right? Like, are you living for yourself,
yes.
Dr. Morgan? Awesome.
Good point.
Awesome.
Trying.
So you work with individuals who have heart problems, who mm-hmm. are going through, or you used to, and
That's
now
right.
you're doing more health literacy
right.
around it.
Right.
Tell us some of the things you are informing and educating people around your, not only your heart health, mm-hmm. but how your heart health affects your mental health.
You know, absolutely. So I spend a lot of time in women's health,
right?
In minority health, how mm-hmm. Algorithms and formulas that physicians like myself follow, because
right.
they're taught these formulas, how those formulas have race factors built in them that then triages people of color and especially Black patients to lower levels of care. Talk about stress.
Wow.
You know you're sick.
But
your doctor's
telling
you that you're not sick mm-hmm. because all of your medical indicators are normal, but they're normal because a race factor built into the formula has artificially
right.
normalized.
Right, and so that level.
That's right.
Right.
And so then you go home, and as we know, no disease process pretty much gets better on its own. So mm-hmm. you're actually mm-hmm. getting worse at home. And so, you know, Black people oftentimes have to be so much sicker
right.
than
white yeah.
before you can get the appropriate referrals and medications and interventions, because we follow formulas.
Data.
That and data
right.
that have race factors built into them of which we are unaware. The doctor is actually using these formulas to guide their information
their medicine, right.
and their message to mm-hmm. the patient without realizing that the formula that they're using for this patient is actually
not
different
work.
For the one from another patient.
Yes.
And so all of that, I spent a lot of time in that. I spent a lot of time in the menopause area and why menopause is not recognized as a risk factor for heart disease and all the symptoms of perimenopause and menopause that women go through, and we end up being misdiagnosed
yeah.
with what? Depression. And we are
anxiety.
And anxiety. And we're prescribed anti-anxiety medicine, mm-hmm. antidepressant medicine.
Instead of hormones.
There we go.
Until,
why don't we actually address the issue?
And so, everybody knows what happens at that right. age. So, but
imagine
it's just,
all
yes.
of that stress.
Yes.
All of that is so stressful to just live in America and navigate as a minority, as a Black, as a woman.
Right.
Very, very difficult. Navigate our medical system. It is a challenge. So I spent a lot of time in the area trying to educate people.
I was just
giving
yeah.
them the tools to understand really what their health is. No, you're not depressed.
Yeah.
No, you're not anxious.
No, no.
Your estrogen
you're actually
levels
having
are dropping.
These problems,
right.
Right. Me and Perry are now sleeping in the bed together because she's knocking on my door and I'm not trying to let her in. She's not a woman that won't come in the door,
yeah.
right? So tell us just what you mentioned and how algorithms and data mm-hmm. inform medicine and
right.
you being a Black woman and
sure.
being in medicine. Tell us how that stress of knowing that we're not being heard can exacerbate whatever is going on in our bodies.
And I am walking on both sides, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm a physician. I'm walking on this side of it with medicine, but I also can see
right.
what's happening
right.
with the patients. And oftentimes it's invisible to mm-hmm. others. And that's the other,
that's the
other
piece.
Problem, the
yes.
other piece, that you're walking and you are seeing something that is invisible to everyone mm-hmm. else, and trying to find the power to step into your power to raise the specter of information.
Right.
Especially when the horse has already left the barn.
Yeah.
It's all, once the horse is out of the barn, it's
hard to pull it back in. Yes.
And it's, so that's where we are. And so I spent a lot of time in that education, but we've got formulas for cesarean sections. It's called VBAC, vaginal birth after cesarean section.
Wow.
And it's a formula that we use to determine whether or not a woman who's already had a cesarean section
has to have another
one with a subsequent pregnancy. And there's a race factor in there.
There is.
Yeah. Whether you're Black or Hispanic, answer is just yes or no. Mm-hmm. And if you answer yes to that, if you are a member of one of those races, then you automatically are guided to a different value that then pushes
that
you into the category of needing to have a repeat cesarean section. And let me be clear, cesarean section is surgery. Mm-hmm. So here's what we're saying in medicine. You need to have more surgery. And so when yes. we talk about maternal mortality,
right,
all of this is a piece of it.
It all plays
repeat
a part.
Repeat surgeries, mm-hmm. recovery time, surgical complications.
Right.
Black women have more cesarean sections, more hysterectomes, more of... Let's just say
they're ready. They're ready to cut on us
That's
at any
right.
given moment.
And all of that goes into health, even vascular complications, not just of women, of men as well. I'm shifting now from
yes.
maternal mortality.
Yes.
But we have more amputations as opposed to limb-saving
wow.
procedures. We're more likely to have our limbs removed.
Because of that algorithm.
Not only because of the algorithm, but also because of social implications and social bias and who's offered these life-saving interventions and
right.
who isn't, who's considered a good candidate
mm-hmm.
for them.
That's the, that's the thing,
that
like
term,
the good, the
that
good,
good
candidate.
Candidate.
I'm
and
dying.
That's right.
So why am I not a candidate?
So these are all like, these social what? Factors.
Yes.
So it is an uphill.
You're giving some insights.
It is something to be on the inside of it as
it's
well.
It's such a difference.
See this.
It's such a difference because when you were performing surgery or performing procedures, mm-hmm. you saw the procedure
mm-hmm.
and you saw the person.
That's right.
But now that you're in health literacy, how much more do you see the person before you see the surgery now? And what is that like in you educating other cardiologists
right.
or other doctors around seeing the person before you see the problem?
Right. I always see the person. And I
awesome.
Think many doctors see the person, but it's also cultural congruence.
Thank you.
You have implicit bias to your own set that you recognize.
Yeah.
And so that's what you see.
Are you taught
that? Do you see with your eyes or do you see... with your mind
or your
and
heart.
Things that are already taught to
mm-hmm.
you. And so most doctors will say, no, I'm not biased. But then when you really
dig down into it,
you see that they are seeing two patients who essentially are identical, but seeing them differently without realizing it. And their medical advice mm-hmm. is a little bit different. And the interaction that a patient has with their physician can also drive
what's the outcome of
that outcome.
Yes.
That relationship
mm-hmm.
can drive the outcome, whether they feel heard, whether they were comfortable asking the questions that
right.
they needed to ask such that they could actually go home and do what they needed to do. Oftentimes,
yes.
women and minorities leave the doctor's office with more questions than they entered with.
That's how it happens, right?
Right.
Like, you're not, and because
you go home more confused. I didn't get that question. I didn't answer. I didn't ask that.
I didn't know to ask that.
I didn't
feel empowered. I didn't feel like they knew me as a culture.
I felt embarrassed. I didn't want them to know that. I didn't know if they would understand.
Yes, that implicit bias.
Yes,
that's right. All of those pieces.
I could tell by the way he was talking.
He didn't know or care to know.
But thought he knew everything.
Yeah.
And was talking over my head. I didn't want to seem stupid.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Instead of saying,
I don't know.
That's
no
right.
question. Like
I don't really understand the Latin.
No question is a dumb question. Especially if you don't know the jargon and lingo that they're using.
But if you already are made to feel inferior
mm-hmm.
or less than.
You're not going to feel empowered
to
do that.
we're doing you a favor to be here. I'm in a rush.
Yeah.
I need to see and all do things crimes. That are more yeah. important.
You're holding me up.
Oh, you didn't take your medicines? Oh, just somebody else who doesn't want to follow my advice, as opposed to sitting down to say, why didn't you take your medication?
What's going on? Can you afford the medicine?
Or
do you understand what the medicine
maybe
is
Maybe you just didn't get the questions answered.
Maybe I'm not taking something I don't know anything about.
I didn't understand. There you go.
You see many ways of how we react
right.
to doctors as well,
right.
because it's on the patient side as
right.
well.
Sure.
What is the difference in serving different cultures, and what do you need to know as a cardiologist, as a doctor, mm-hmm, when mm-hmm. dealing with different cultures? Mm-hmm. Because how you talk and how you treat them will change how they will respond to what mm-hmm. you're asking them to do, mm-hmm. but also may trigger moments in their mental health that mm-hmm. won't allow them to hear you mm-hmm. of what you're trying to do. How do you navigate those different cultures?
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about something called the weathering effect.
Hmm.
The weathering effect is the advancing age, the biologic age, meaning how old your body really is hmm. in comparison to how old you are from your birth date.
Got it.
And Black women's biologic age is more advanced
way
than your chronologic age.
That's
called the weathering effect. The
wow.
reason for that is the chronic, unrelenting need to be in fight or flight,
mm-hmm.
in navigating a system that is unjust and biased, in having to chronically step up,
right?
To always be on guard, to not be able to be ourselves, mm-hmm. know that ourselves are not welcomed. And here's the thing: mothers of Black sons report even a greater degree of stress and therefore weathering than Black mothers who do not have Black sons, predicated
wow.
on having to teach your sons
how to deal with this world,
navigate America,
yes.
knowing that they are targets
yes.
here in the United States. That is called the weathering effect. And when they say Black don't crack, not on the outside, but
on
the
inside,
we are older than our stated age. And if you need any proof of that, we even go into menopause, which is a measure of age advancement a year and a half earlier than white women because of this weathering effect. And if you need even more proof,
wow.
biologic proof, on our chromosomes, on the ends of our chromosomes are caps that are called telomeres.
Mm-hmm.
The length of these telomeres really correlates with age and youth.
Okay.
And Black women have shorter and shorter and shorter telomeres as compared to other groups as we age, again, demonstrating that advanced age. So when you think about
wow.
that, then when a woman comes to see the physician or cardiologist and she's stating this is her age, maybe we need to think
what's happening
that
inside.
The age
yeah.
is more advanced
yeah.
because of the chronic, and then predicate that on the type of testing, the type of, so we talk about now
you
increased cancer rates.
Right.
And we see that also in the Black community. Screening doesn't start oftentimes for cancers until 40 or 45 or 50. So we're having younger and younger people for whatever reason. Right. There are a number of reasons. We can talk about it if we want to, for why cancer rates are increasing. But if we start to treat people based on their chronologic age, how society and stress
then
is
we get
aging
them.
The
yes,
person.
Yes,
then,
yes, yes.
Then now we're catching more disease.
Way ahead of time.
Ahead of time
mm-hmm.
instead of their biologic age. But it's not a recognition of that. It's called the weathering effect. As a mother of a Black son, of three Black sons, I'm not excluding myself. I am weathered.
I'm with you. I
so
have a Black son myself. And
this is it.
Is that, so we consider that strong Black woman syndrome, or we're always in defense mode when we're
right.
talking about our children or ourselves
right.
or our families.
Right.
How do we shift that? How
yeah.
do you, with you being in health literacy,
right.
what are you informing and educating on us how to shift that?
That's right.
Is there a way to shift this?
The chronic code switching and everything that it requires to sort of be successful, or not even be successful, sometimes just to survive.
Just to thrive and survive, right.
In a society that often is gaslighting you. Mm-hmm. You're fine. You're very right. good mm-hmm. where you are. Mm-hmm. You don't need to advance. This is not for you.
What do you need over here?
You know. So, you know, something that I think that I'm seeing more and more and more of, you know, we, and this is just for everybody, not even just for Black women, but feeling angry and disappointed and unhappy with interactions that you're having with people and how people are behaving and treating you. And really, we need to look at it as taking our power back, because really
That's
what
right.
we're saying is we're unhappy and disappointed in ourselves,
and you have the power to change,
allowing
them power.
To take your power.
Yes,
and we've got to begin to understand that that
it's
anxiety
ours.
And stress mm-hmm. that we are attributing to others is really our disappointment in ourselves in allowing that treatment.
That's now, big. That's a pivotal moment, is recognizing yeah. that we're doing it to ourselves.
Right.
And once we release the, I've got to show this because of them, or I got to do this because of them, mm-hmm. instead of doing it for ourselves,
right.
then we start to change that chronological age within ourselves, right?
And we begin, well, you know, we still are going to live
I mean,
here
we still have,
America,
right? I'm trying to figure that part out.
That's right. It has been difficult to overcome 400
yeah.
years of slavery, mostly
yeah.
because we are so easily recognizable. Hmm. You know, they say, oh, well, why can't you, you know, do X, Y, and Z? Other cultures have done it. Well, you know,
other
part
cultures
of it,
starting where we start.
Not only have they not started, part of it was we can't change our skin and we can't change our hair.
That's it.
We are easily recognizable. And so it makes, as a group, you more easily able to be punitive, to have
yeah.
punitive behavior. Yeah. There are other cultures that can kind of, you know,
fit in.
You know, yeah, box and
yeah.
weave, and
yeah.
they do
yeah.
bob and weave
yeah.
and do a lot of it. Not a lot of bobbing and weaving in the block.
No,
it's like it
us.
Is what
there,
it is.
Right. There she is over there.
That's right,
right, right,
that's
right, right.
And you can't really hide it. And so, and you know, here's the other thing.
Do we want to hide it?
Most of us are not trying to hide it.
Do we want to hide it? Do we want to hide it?
You know, we love
it.
Yes. We're beautiful. We move forward. But the fact of the matter is we're also punished for
yeah.
In society. And that's that weathering effect where we are, it's almost you're punished for being yourself. But also you have to survive and navigate. It's what it really is constant high effort coping
gotcha.
Is what it's called.
High effort
coping, constant high effort coping leads to weathering effect that other races in general and other cultures don't have. They have to some degree,
mm-hmm.
but everything with the Black race is always to the extreme because we're so easily identifiable.
This is good. And you are giving nuggets to the people.
Yeah.
They don't realize that they didn't realize they were coming here to get a full on cardiologist
right.
here to tell us how to stay healthy. So your heart
mm-hmm.
is connected to your mind.
Right.
Your mind is connected to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
As a cardiologist,
mm-hmm.
how are you trained
mm-hmm.
in your field mm-hmm. to take care of the heart but not let go of the mind?
Yeah. So let's start with how should we untrain ourselves.
Oh, I just read a book. I'm learning to untrain myself,
let's
right?
Untrain everything that we've learned. But listen,
which is hard.
Yeah, we know yeah. now that a large component of heart disease is due to inflammation in the body,
mm-hmm.
chronic inflammation in the body.
Okay.
Inflammation in the body is caused by a number of things. It's caused by chronic disease processes, including obesity, considered
gotcha.
A disease process, diabetes, arthritis, liver disease,
mm-hmm.
heart, chronic disease, including mental health and stress. That all causes chronic inflammation. So yeah. all these things cause chronic inflammation. And then what happens when your body's in a state of chronic inflammation? They also cause all of these
it's
other things.
Cause it, yeah.
They make obesity worse. They make diabetes worse. They make heart disease. They increase your joint disease.
Mm-hmm.
And then those things flare up. And then what? So
it's just this
crazy
constant, yeah, cycle.
Cycle that keeps going, and it eventually leads to heart disease, but also cancers and other things.
Wow.
So we've got to begin to think about how we, food is medicine, mm-hmm. how we consume food that has anti-inflammatory properties and what foods have pro-inflammatory properties. And, you know, just in general, at a high level, we're talking about more fruits and vegetables and less processed meats and fried food, just at a high level.
Right.
If you, like, just want the big, the quick and dirty.
Right. We'll bring it back to give us a full list.
and so if you can decrease the inflammation in your body, you decrease the risk factors for all of these things, including heart disease and including cancer.
Yes.
Mental health drives a lot of this chronic inflammation. And we know now that chronic inflammation increases those risk factors. And so mental health is incredibly important because it can keep the body in a chronic state of stress and inflammation that then drives
triggers all the
physical disease.
Yeah.
That sometimes won't be measured for another 20 years. Cancer takes a long time to grow. Heart disease takes a long time to develop. So if you don't get your mental health under control and try to actually manage it and address it and take the breaks that you need and the self-care that you need, you think that you're doing okay. We're back to this high effort coping.
Right.
This weathering effect. Mm-hmm. But the other side of the weathering effect is
the long term.
You end up with more heart disease, more cancer, more arthritis, more autoimmune diseases, more liver disease, more diabetes. Mm-hmm. It just goes on and on and on. More obesity. That's the weathering effect.
We're so used to doing that. Generations of
being high effort coping. Generation after generation. The other way to describe that is surviving.
Yeah. We're always in survival mode.
Always in survival mode.
Knowing that we have more younger people. I had my brother-in-law's brother passed away of a heart attack at 52. Mm-hmm. And I'm 45. I'll be 45 in August. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, you thought of older people having heart attacks. Mm-hmm. You didn't think of my 50-year-old brother-in-law would have a heart attack.
Right.
How do we inform our teens, our young adults, mm-hmm. individuals who are hearing this for the first time, mm-hmm. of how to change that cycle and how to shift what they're in and doing now and consuming now? What do we give the young people so that they have a chance of living past 60 and 70 years old?
Yeah, listen, we have our children, we raise them, we talk to them about the birds and bees, we talk to them about sex, we talk to them about protection, but we never talk to them about any other life transitions menopause.
That's true.
And perimenopause. Nothing's ever talked about. Mm-hmm. So the reason I bring that up is the number one killer of women in the United States of America is heart disease.
Wow.
It's not breast cancer.
Wow.
It's not lung cancer. It is heart disease. More women die of heart disease than any other disease process. And listen to this. I was running the COVID task force. Even at the height of COVID, we lost over 1 million people.
To COVID. To heart disease.
To COVID. Even COVID, at the height of COVID, did not dethrone heart disease from the number one killer. And not only of women, but of men as well. That's how prevalent heart disease is in our society. But mm-hmm. women in particular, I want to focus on, and Black women, because our risk of heart disease prior to menopause is only half that of a man, 50%. That's because we have the protective factors of estrogen in our body.
In place.
Estrogen not only protects our heart, it also has anti-inflammatory properties. We're back to this inflammation.
I just read that.
Maybe I wrote it. I don't know. I'm always writing these papers. But by the time we get to menopause, our risk of heart disease equals that of a man. And by the time we get in our 70s, it actually surpasses that.
In that short amount of time.
In that short amount of time. And all of the symptoms that we have of menopause, you can suddenly get an increase in your cholesterol and lipid panels within mm-hmm. a year or two, mm-hmm. elevated blood pressure, sleeplessness. We know that sleep duration is directly related to heart disease. Hot flashes, or as we call hot flushes, the duration and the intensity of those symptoms of hot flushes are related to heart disease, and wow. Black women tend to suffer them more intensely. And yet all of these are ignored. So even individually, there are risk factors for heart disease. But then during perimenopause, they're all happening,
at the same time.
And we're prescribed antidepressants for them. Meanwhile, our heart disease risk is continuing to increase.
Because you're not even tapping into what the true
and
problem
not
is.
Only
underlining
that,
issues are.
Talk about stress and mental health. Meanwhile, you're at home, you don't feel well, you're trying to work. You can have brain fog as well.
Yes.
You're struggling with your memory, all kinds of things. Deodorants don't work anymore.
And everything is falling apart.
And they're telling you
you're depressed.
Imagine that. It's all in your head. There's actually a book called It's All in Your Head. An excellent
and it's not
and
all
it's
in
not
my
in
head.
Your head. These are all true, and they're all risk factors. And cardiologists like myself still are not recognizing. This is what I talk about. Not only it's hard to teach when you have to first unlearn, to then relearn. And listen, you know, they did a survey, and only 22%, a survey of doctors, only 22% of primary care physicians even felt comfortable treating a woman with heart disease symptoms.
Wow.
And if you can believe this, only 42% of cardiologists, that's actually our job, felt comfortable treating women with heart disease. And that makes sense when you think about it, because most cardiologists are men.
And they don't understand women.
Not only do they not understand women, a woman's symptoms of heart disease can be different.
Presented very different than a man.
Present very,
very different.
So there's another stress factor. You're not feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
You keep going to the doctor. They're telling you you're fine. You're going home. You're not feeling well. You're more and more stressed. And basically, you're having a heart attack. And that is why a woman's first heart attack is more often fatal than the first heart attack of a man. Because we use this term called atypical to characterize a woman's symptoms. And let's be clear, lexicon is important.
Mm-hmm.
The language that we use, because it can drive action.
Yeah.
And so if our symptoms are atypical, meaning we may feel run down,
mm-hmm.
we may feel fatigued,
mm-hmm.
we might have back pain, you may have jaw pain, it actually might send you to the dentist. All of these vague, nonspecific symptoms that actually are symptoms of a heart disease that can be in a woman. And she sees a doctor, and the doctor gives you the proverbial pat on the back. There.
It's like
here's
mental
an
health.
Antidepressant.
It's like mental
and
health. They don't see
are,
it.
You,
it's not a physical
and
ailment that they
feel
see.
Well, and you don't feel well. And there you are. Stress is getting bigger. Stress is getting greater. Back to that weathering effect, back to more inflammation in your body, and then you have a heart attack, your first heart attack is fatal, and it was missed. And not only was it missed by the medical establishment, it was missed by you as well, because we don't teach these other symptoms of heart disease. We teach chest pain, shortness of breath,
start to sweat, left on the right side, take an aspirin, right Bayer thing.
And it's not. And we call the woman's symptoms, when I say we, I'm talking about the medical establishment.
Right.
I'm talking about us.
You.
I'm talking about me.
Yeah.
I'm
you
talking
and
about
your
how
colleagues,
we learn.
Right.
They are called atypical symptoms.
Hmm.
But here's the deal. Women are almost 52% of the population. We're more than half. So maybe we're the ones having
you
the normal
might
symptoms.
Might want to listen to something
maybe
that's going on.
Maybe it's the men who are having the atypical symptoms. So here's a great example of, you know, who's driving medicine, who historically has driven medicine. So it's practiced and preached and taught from this
lens.
And it's hard to undo that.
It's hard. They don't want us in charge, and they don't want us to be the reason
well,
why.
Well, and you see it,
hard, yeah.
and you know you can work on it at an individual level if
yeah.
patients are lucky enough to find you and come to you. But, you know, how do you find
on the massive
City
global
Hall?
Right?
There we go.
How do we get to legislation?
There we
change
go.
Change legislation.
Now, and we are working on that.
And I'm
and
with
next
I'm,
week, I will
okay.
be in D.C.
Okay.
Working on legislation.
Because it takes that much. It takes that much
it
to
does.
make a difference. I know we're
it
coming.
Does.
We could be here all day.
We could be.
Day. I love
this
it.
This is my thing.
But I want you to tell women,
mm-hmm.
men,
mm-hmm.
black women,
mm-hmm.
black men, women and men in general,
right.
how to advocate for themselves
right.
when they're not being heard by
right.
their doctors.
Right. You know, I have a really good friend. Her name is AJ Johnson. And, you know, I'll give her a plug. You can follow her at the AJ Zone. But you know what? I was listening to what she calls one of her downloads. And I like the way she characterized it. So I'm going to say it today.
Okay.
She calls it the pinch. If you feel the pinch. So if for whatever reason you're in a situation that is uncomfortable for you. It may be comfortable for everybody else, mm-hmm. but it's uncomfortable for you. And you're feeling that little pinch.
Yeah.
That is an indicator.
Get up and go.
That is an indicator that something isn't quite right, even though it may be disguised mm-hmm. as love.
As the perfect.
It may be disguised as being helpful.
Yes.
It may be disguised as care. That little pinch
goes
is letting you know
something isn't right.
Your pinch in your soul that there is something that is not okay with
not
me
aligning
and my boundaries that is not aligning. I'm not getting what I need. So pay attention to that. You know, that is maybe a survival mechanism, and we are accustomed with back to high-effort coping. We tolerate all the pinching because we are weathered.
Yes.
And we have to survive, but we need to maybe dial into that pinching and then step into our power.
Okay.
And stop allowing other people to have the power. If you need to change doctors, change doctors.
I was going to say that.
If you need to change doctors two times, change doctors two times.
How do you do that without, how do you change doctors?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to say this in a nice way without pissing them off.
Yeah,
or, you know.
Here you go. And listen, it doesn't have to be antagonistic.
It has, right,
every doctor,
way.
Just like every person in your life, every doctor is not meant to be with you through your whole journey.
That's right.
Right? Some people have served their time.
Exactly.
And let's just talk about menopause again. I'm back to one of my favorite topics.
I need to listen hard.
If you are seeing your doctor and you are in your late 30s and 40s and you're having all kinds of symptoms, you don't know what it is, you've got and crazy symptoms, itching in your ears, your body's itching, your taste buds are changing, you can't keep up with your memory, you're forgetting things, everything is different.
Yeah.
And this is kind of these perimenopausal symptoms that you're talking with your physician, they're giving you kind of what I call the proverbial there.
Right. You're gonna
why don't
fine.
You take a break? Yeah. Go on a vacation. Tahiti's a great place. Here's an antidepressant. We'll see you in 6 months. Listen, you can just say, thank you, Dr. Whoever.
Right.
You know, we have had a great 20 years.
But
now I need something different, and I need to step into something else and find somebody who's menopause certified and sit down with that person. I'm hoping at some point cardiologists will all catch up with this and we'll begin to manage it. But every doctor doesn't serve you at every phase of your life, just like sometimes every person doesn't serve you in every phase of
everybody
your life.
Everybody has a season and a reason,
pinch.
Right?
Even I have people that are friends who probably should have been kicked to the curb a long time ago.
You
every
pinched,
time I see them,
you
I'm getting pinched.
You were probably pinched and twisted like my grandma used to do me back in the day, and you just kept saying, oh, she's going to be fine.
That's right.
That's just who she
I'm
is.
Trying like, I'm trying to just deal with it.
She's my only, she's the only friend. Dr. Jane
there
Morgan.
And we know.
Yes, we should have ran.
We don't feel empowered to do it. And what are we trying to do? Another thing, the way we sabotage ourselves is people pleasing. Which think about people pleasing. Another way to describe that is low self-esteem.
Yeah.
Giving your power away.
Away.
Even I'm trying to learn that. So you can follow me. Hey. I pick up on all these from the AJ Zone as well. Not trying to plug her, but
I
also don't want to take credit for everything.
I love it.
We can all learn
it.
From everybody
and
move it forward. So,
well, tell them how they can learn more from you, Dr.
Hey, listen,
Jane.
Follow me. I'm on Instagram at Dr. Jane Morgan, DrJayneMorgan. I've got a Y in there. I'm also on X and on LinkedIn, so feel free to follow me. I post all kinds of things. I actually do something on Wednesdays called the Stairwell Chronicles,
awesome.
Where I sit on the stairs of my house, and in 60 seconds or less, I give you one little nugget about medicine and about your health that
awesome.
You can just take with you for the week. So if you go through my feed and look on Wednesdays, you see me sitting on the steps, tune in, 60 seconds. I'm just dropping a dime on you that day. And you can just move on with it. So feel free to follow me. And I only talk medicine, I only talk science. Every now and then I throw something else in, but it's science and medicine in an easy to understand and relatable format.
I love that.
Right.
You go follow her on Wednesdays for Stairwell Chronicles. Then you come over to Silent Shame and come to our Wellness
there
Wednesdays.
There we go.
And now we're covering our physical and mental health.
There we
thank
go.
Thank you so much.
You are
we
very welcome.
Truly, truly appreciate
I
this.
I love it.
I think our listeners will learn a lot from this
good.
Episode. Probably going to bring you back on to talk
okay.
about Perry and Minnie.
Oh.
We'll talk about them later because we could be
can
here
talk
for
about a lot of things.
Right. But I don't think us as Black women get that information mm-hmm. that we need.
We
so
don't.
Super excited to bring you back.
Sure.
Maybe around Women's Health Month or something, but super excited.
Listen, every day is Women's Health Month.
It is. Right. It is. If you're a woman and you need help, mm-hmm. it's the day for it, right? You guys, I told you I had a special treat. We're super excited to have had Dr. Jane Morgan here to give us such a wealth of knowledge around your physical health is attached to your mental health. Always remember that. Come back and visit us. We'll have more great opportunities for you to gain tools, skills, and opportunities to better support your mental health. And don't forget to always text SILENCE to 707070 if you would like to donate. But remember to take time, free your feels. It will save a life and silence the shame. You know what to do. Like, comment, share, and subscribe. We're on all platforms, and we'll see you next week. Have a great, great day.